It's Labor Day, and so I thought I would do a sermon on labor, so to speak. Give what is due is what I entitled this, and it's from Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. There are several different directions I can go with this, and so I'm just going to really deal with just a small part of it, but let me read the whole text for you. This is later in Jesus' ministry, and the Pharisees are trying to trick him, and they get the Herodians involved. Herodians were Jewish people who believed, they were more liberal in their thinking, more liberal than the Pharisees, and they favored the Herodians, Herod and his clan. They thought that he was the buffer between them and Rome, and so their whole religion was one of compromise. Compromise with the faithful Jewish people and compromise with the Romans. And they viewed as Herod as, you know, their safety net. So whatever Herod wanted, they kind of approved. So you have disciples of the Pharisees, and you have who had their own ways of looking at things, and you have the Herodians, and they're all trying to trip Jesus up because they want to get him arrested and killed. So anyway, they went out, laid plans, this is verse 15 of Matthew 22, to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, with tongue in cheek, I'm sure, "we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance to the truth." Of course, they didn't believe that for one second, but that's how they lied. "You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." Well, that they knew. "Tell us then, what is your opinion?" Notice they want his opinion, not the truth. "Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius. That was a Roman coin. And he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. By amazed, I think it meant they were startled. You know, what do you say to that? There's no comeback to that. And the problem is that human beings, and even Christians, have problems with that. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give unto God that which is God's. You know, paying taxes to the government is easy. You know, if you work, well, your taxes are taken out before you even get your money. If you're paying into Social Security, that's taken out before you get your money. You get this nice paycheck. And when you look at what it says about how much money you made, and then you look at how much you actually got, it's a huge difference. And so really, even paying property tax, sometimes if you have a mortgage, that's already taken care of for you, and you know, in your payment that you make each month. And if you buy something, sales tax, you know, you don't even have to think about it. It's just added on to what you are paying. It's easy to pay Caesar, easy to pay the government. And I was thinking about it being Labor Day, all the jobs that I've had over the years. Now, as a minister, as a pastor, by law, I'm considered an employee for income tax purposes, but self-employed for Social Security purposes, which means just like any self-employed person who's in the room, you know what I'm talking about, you pay the entire 15.6% of your income, gross income, to Social Security. And then you add tax on that, and you're paying anywhere from 20 to 25% or more, depending on how much you make, of your income is going to the government. Well, that's what you're called to do, and that's what you do. But thinking about it, I've been preaching 45 years as of this month, full time. So that's nice. This is the fifth church I've served. Two churches I served at the same time for a three-year period in New Jersey. And the longest ministry was in New Jersey with the same church for 28 years. But apart from that, I grew up on a farm, knew what farm work was. Other farm work away from our own farm, cleaned out soybean fields, detasseled corn, baled hay. In town jobs, I worked at two different hamburger joints, worked for a car cleaning detailing company, pumped gas for a couple of years, did what else did I do? Oh, did a paper route, motor route, 90 miles a day, delivering newspapers, did that for a couple of years, and worked in two different factories over a period of 6 years. And then in more recent years, back in the last decade, worked at Target for a while, and also worked for almost a year and a half as a courier for a law firm. So I know what it's like to have a paycheck and you get far less than what you thought you were making. That's easy. It's easy. And the only real hassle is when we have to fill out our tax forms each year. That's a nuisance, isn't it? But it's not so bad if you're getting money back. The real pain is when you still owe. Yeah. And if you pay estimated taxes, some of you may be used to paying instead of getting back. Well, that's easy. But when it comes to God, it's not so easy. You see, giving to the government is required. You have to do that. You have to do that or you can go to jail. But giving to God, you know, there's no one standing over you. No one's going to come to your door saying, you didn't give enough or you didn't do enough. No one's going to write us about what we do with God. But Jesus said, give to God that which is God's. And that's not so easy. Under the Mosaic law, the people were required to tithe the tenth of their income. That would be money, but that would also could be crops, that could be animals. They give the first tenth back to God. And the purpose for that was to maintain their religion, maintain the tabernacle at first, later the temple, to look after those who were the full-time employees of that. And all in by participating in God's kingdom. It was a way to personally participate. And it also required that they realize that they belong to God and should trust God to bless them. The problem for the Israelites was, though, that oftentimes they felt God wasn't living up to his part, so they didn't want to give God all that he deserved. And so God withheld many blessings because they withheld from God. And I'm convinced the same thing happens even now in the church age. Because we're not required to give a tenth. But I've heard many sermons over the years where preachers have said, a tenth is where we actually should start. How can we as Christians who know Jesus Christ and the sacrifice paid for us give less than what was required by law to the Israelites who did not know the Messiah? Should not we be even more thankful and more joyful? First time I heard a sermon on tithing, I thought, how in the world? I think I made something like $40 a week at the time. That didn't go very far. I could not see how in the world it worked. But over time, I began to give it a try. And I have to say, over all these years, first thing I do with the check is make out a check for my 10%. And that's what goes in the offering. And I don't miss it. Do not miss it at all. It's just like it coming out of my paycheck. You know, just like, you know, estimated taxes. Don't even miss it. It doesn't even come into play in anything, in budgeting or anything. It's just, that's the first thing that goes. But then, you know, God tells us, Paul wrote in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe, God loves a cheerful giver. And that whole chapter deals with God's blessings for those who give cheerfully. So Rhonda and I, we give even above, over and above, we give to missions. Because missions, you know, over and above what the church missions are, we give to missions over and above that. Because that's part of God's kingdom. That's part of the work that we're called to do. So we have taken that seriously. But the question for all of us is, do we do with God, give to God that which is really God's? Do we give to Him joyfully as He requires? Because you see, the challenge is to recognize that giving to God is a sacrifice. Is a sacrifice. God never says, give me everything. He just gives me, He said, give me the first. Give me the best. That's what he praised Abel for. Abel gave the best. Cain just gave some. And God was disappointed. And Cain became angry and turned into greater sin. See, giving to God that which is God, belongs to God, is not easy. It's something that takes thought on our part. It takes trust in God that God will provide. Because God has always said, you trust me and I will bless. And he always has. And giving unto God that which is God, belongs to God, requires commitment to the kingdom. See, we pay our taxes because, well, we're happy to be citizens and we like our roads to be in good shape and, you know, bridges, you know, they fall into disrepair. One fell just this week and people got killed, you know, on a major highway. All that has to be maintained. We even have to pay our politicians. Don't ask me why, but we pay our politicians, you know. And we may disagree with them, but they are human beings. They're trying to do the best they can, no matter what their motives might be. And so we endeavor to maintain that. We maintain our military. We maintain our police force. We maintain the fire department. We maintain our educational system. We maintain the electric company. You know, if we don't pay our bills, there's no electricity. You know, we maintain so many things through our giving, through taxation, and through the bills that help us maintain our homes and our lives. But who really maintains us? Who really maintains us spiritually? Who is preparing a place for us in eternity? Who has called us to serve Him, to worship Him, to grow in relationship with Him, to help one another grow in Christ, to reach the lost? Well, it's us. The federal government is not going to support the work of the church. People who are pagans are not going to support the work of the church. It's only going to be God's people. And do we support it joyfully? Unfortunately, many people look at the church as a charity where you can just give something. You know, like you get the things in the mail and they're asking for money. Oh, well, okay, I'll send them $10. But the church is more important than that, isn't it? I give to charities. You know, my granddaughter had leukemia when she was 3. She's 16 years old now and just got her driver's license, learner's permit. Can't believe that. And, you know, we send money to the Leukemia Society and other things, Feed More and so forth here in the area. But you know what? All that stuff's temporary. And the people that helps is only going to help them temporarily. Now, that's important, and we should support such things. But shouldn't the work of the kingdom of saving people's lives for eternity be our number one priority? Shouldn't that be something that we say, man, I need to support that? I need to get behind it. I need to give of myself. I need to give of my finances. I need to give of my talents. I need to give of my time. Because this is the most important thing in the world. So it's not just, church is not just some nice place to go. It's important, supremely important. The church is about saving lives for eternity. And that should be our number one priority. Many times I've seen in Bible colleges and other groups, you know, when people die, there goes the support. Because people send their money to the Cancer Society or something like that, and that's all fine. But if we neglect the work of God's kingdom and leave nothing for the work of God's kingdom, what does that say about our priorities? Do we believe in the work of God's kingdom or do we not? Some people call themselves Christians but don't participate with a congregation. They sit at home or they're out doing other things. They don't give to the work of the kingdom. They don't give to the church. They don't support missions. They don't pray for the missions. Oh, I'm a Christian, but no, I don't need the church. Well, such a person is a dropout, a traitor, someone who has said, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe Jesus. Because even in Scripture, we're told not to give up meeting together, as some are in their habit of doing, but to keep on meeting and encouraging each other, especially as we see the day approaching. See, we're called to be kingdom workers, not kingdom dropouts. Jesus didn't give us a get-out-of-hell-free card, but he called us to service. He called us to be disciples, which is what we talked about last week. And so if you don't give, or only give on occasion, then you're not giving to God that which is God's. Think about that. When people don't give to God that which is God's, then we are cheating God. And one day we'll have to stand before God and hear his take on it. Because here, he's not going to be hitting us up the side of the head and say, come on, get with it. He's expecting us to love him and to really get excited about his kingdom and what that means to us personally, but to those around us who are brothers and sisters in Christ, and in reaching out to others in the joy of when someone comes to Christ. And you know, giving to God is not just our finances, it is time. Giving of our time, our talent, our personal participation. It requires our trust in God. It requires our faith. It requires our commitment. So give unto God that which is God's. So many people keep saying no. Oh, I'll give unto Caesar, but I need the rest. What's God need my money for? But they forget that the one number one reason for giving to God that which is God's is to show faith and trust in him. To say, God, I trust you. But you see, those who don't give of themselves to God, give of the best of themselves to God, don't trust God. They don't trust God because they think, well, I need this because God will probably let me down. That's really what's going on in their minds and hearts. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were all about money. And they were all about maintaining, you know, peace as much as possible with a very pagan, evil government. And so they try to trick Jesus. Is it right to give to this evil government? Now, they didn't want to call it evil. They just wanted to know, is it right to give to Caesar? But they knew Jesus, what Jesus would say or what they thought he would say. But he got them where they were because they didn't give unto God that which was God's. Jesus chewed out the Pharisees because of that, you know, of their evil ways. And I'm sure he thought even less of the Herodians who compromised their faith so much. And it's easy to say, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But it's so much harder to give unto God that which is God's. And what I find fascinating in the New Testament, through what the Holy Spirit has told us, he's left it up to each of us to recognize in our own lives what belongs to God. See, I can't tell you how much to give of your finances, of your time, of your talents, of your trust in God. I can't tell you. Only you can decide what God's worth to you. Only you can decide what God's kingdom is worth to you. And then give accordingly. And the only one who can judge that is God. Remember the woman who gave the last little bit that she had, put it in the offering plate as she was leaving the temple. And Jesus said, she gave more than all those who had given from their wealth. And what was the difference? Well, this widow didn't have much. She gave all she had, the last couple coins. But she had great faith in God, and she believed in his kingdom. Others who had great wealth gave a lot, but evidently did not give percentage-wise as much as this widow, did not give the faith that this widow had. It's easy to give if you have it, but to give what God deserves, that's a little trickier. And we have to look at our hearts, and we have to decide, God, what are you worth to me? And we need to remember, Jesus gave his all. And it's our all he requires in return. But just like the government, he lets us to keep most of it. He lets us keep most of it because he wants to bless us. And the marvelous thing is that as we give to God, he blesses immeasurably. Oh, you hear, you know, TV evangelists say, give and you're going to find it back in your mailbox. Well, Jesus never said anything like that. Because his blessings are far greater, far broader, far deeper, far more meaningful than just a check in the mailbox. The blessings that God gives is in many, many ways involving our health, our happiness, our peace of mind, our overall well-being, taking away fear, giving us confidence. God has a way of, even through our tough times, keeping our heads above water and knowing that we are being looked after and blessed by the Almighty God, Creator of this world. You know, what Jesus is wanting us to have is confidence in Him. That's what it comes down to. Confidence in Him. The world rejects God. Some who call themselves Christians reject Him too, because they don't want to give Him what's due. But even for us as Christians, sometimes we may even find ourselves shortchanging God because we're not thinking about it. But we really need to look deep in our hearts and really come to terms. God, how valuable are you to me? What of what you have blessed me with should I be giving back to you, knowing that you will still look after me? And God's right there. And he says, my child, I will bless you. Just trust me. I will bless you. I will bless you in accordance to your measure of trust, your measure of understanding. Our invitation song is number 349, Trust and Obey. If you take your hymn book, Trust and Obey. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, that's trust. You know, that's believing that God's going to provide. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. When I was a kid, little kid, I remember going to town from the farm and holding on to mom's hand or dad's hand and walking along the sidewalk, being amazed at going into the city. It's a town of 16,000. But it seemed big to me. But I was okay because I was with mom and dad. Did I worry about what we were going to eat for lunch? No. Mom and Dad were there. They would provide. I remember as I got a little older, there was a hamburger joint we'd go to after church on Sunday. You could get 10 hamburgers for a dollar. I'm showing my age a bit. But never worried about what I was going to eat. Just trusted. And Mom and Dad provided. And as I got older, I realized Mom and Dad didn't always have it, but I didn't always know it. But God always provided. And you know what? 70 years later, here I still am. How did God do that? Because I know I sure didn't. It's God who's got us where we are. Praise be to God. Let's stand together, shall we, as we sing verses 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5.